Hey guys, this is Dallas Greenaway, the middle school director at Fellowship Greenville. Welcome to the FG Students Podcast. This week, we're going to hear from Rachel Baylor as she wraps up our series, The Untouchables. We will be looking at the passage on the paralytic whose friends brought him through the roof to get to Jesus. We'll see this encounter and how Jesus heals the broken in Luke 5, verses 17 through 26. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, guys. My name is Rachel, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm a part of the awesome student ministry team here at Fellowship Greenville. And that's the last time you're going to hear that little thing, because we are wrapping up the Untouchable series this Sunday. I know, kind of sad. But one thing I want to ask you guys today before we start is, how many of you guys have broken a bone before? Wow, there's a lot. First service, there's a lot too. Okay, so does anyone have like a good broken bone story? Emma? No-handed cartwheel, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, down a wet hill.
Down a wet hill.
So when I fell,
goes well.
Oh,
arm went backwards and bent and kind of snapped. Yikes. What's yours? You got hit in the face with a golf club. Ouch. That sounds rough. Anyone over here? Has anyone broken a bone? Any good stories? Do you have a good story?
Standing on a chair
and what? It split your arm?
It split inside.
Oh, yikes. Not good. All right, last one.
So I was scootering and...
Scootering. Those scooters, they'll do it.
The bottom before I put my foot on, I fell.
She fell. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So that was like a chop the finger off story. So she was scootering and she fell off, and then the bottom of the scooter went on her hand and she sat on the bottom of the scooter. Finger. Yeah. Not super fun. All right. Well, thank you for those stories. They're really good, really a little bit graphic, but they were good. So I want to review our Untouchable series a little bit before we go into the last thing. So is there a little slide or a little review slide that we can do? All right. So the first week we talked about how Jesus ate with the despised with Zacchaeus. That story, no one really liked Zacchaeus. And then the second week we talked about how Jesus values the outcasts with the story of the bleeding woman. She was bleeding for 12 years and was seen as an outcast in that time. And then the third week, we looked at how Jesus restored the sinful with the woman caught in adultery. And then last week, Matt talked to us about how Jesus invites blank. He invites all of us into his kingdom with the story of the rich young ruler. So today, I want to share with you guys another untouchable story with a man who had something broken in him, just like you guys with your broken bones. But first, I want to tell you the craziest story that I know of a broken bone that I've witnessed. So, two summers ago, I was living in my house in Charlotte back with my parents, and I was a student ministry intern at my church back in Charlotte, and which was really great. And one morning, I had the morning off. We were like about to go on this cliff jumping trip, which was really exciting, but we had the morning off, so my mom and I went grocery shopping, and this was like end of July, so in August, I was about to move back to Clemson and into my first apartment. So we went grocery shopping, and then we were like, well, it'd probably be a good idea to start packing up my stuff for my apartment. So I was like, I'll put the groceries away in the kitchen. And she was like, I'll go up in the attic and get some boxes. So I was in the kitchen, heard this loud bang, and I was like, oh, she probably just threw a box down. One thing to point out is this picture of our garage. So this is the garage back at my house. And so the attic is above the garage. You can see that little door, and you like pull the little string down. The stairs come down. You go up the stairs, and you're in the attic. So it's above our garage with the cement floor. So my mom goes up there, and I thought that she threw a box down. And I finished up in the kitchen and then opened the door to the garage to go help her like get the boxes that she had thrown down. And when I opened the door, I was just like, oh my gosh. I saw this huge hole in the ceiling, and my sweet little mom on the ground, on the cement floor, of our garage, which was really scary. And in those 2 seconds of me just like frozen, I was like, I don't know if she's alive. I don't know if she's conscious. I don't know if she's paralyzed. Like, I have no idea what's going on. And then I heard this little like, help, help, I'm hurt. And when I talked to her about it later, she thought she was like screaming, like, Rachel, I need help. Like, please help me. But it was just this little like, help, help, I'm hurt. So I run over to her and I was like, oh my gosh, like, what do I need to do? Like, I asked if she could feel her toes to make sure she wasn't paralyzed, and she could wiggle her toes, but she was like, everything hurts, like, I need you to call 911. And guys, I've never called 911, I've never been in an ambulance, I've never even been in a car accident. So I was like, all right, okay, so called 911, talked to the paramedics, and they came like 5 minutes later. It's like the longest 5 minutes of my life, because I was just standing there like, I don't know what to do. So they came, put her on a stretcher, put her in the ambulance, and we both rode in the ambulance 20 minutes, which is a really long time in an ambulance because you're going like really fast, but 20 minutes to the main hospital in Uptown Charlotte to their trauma center because it was so serious. So we get there. On our way there, I'm like calling everyone I know, crying. My dad happened to be in Atlanta at the time, which was really unfortunate. He was 4 hours away, so it was just me and my mom. So I was calling people like, can you come sit with me in the hospital because I don't want to sit by myself. And we got there. They took her to do x-rays and CAT scans to see what had happened because she was, like, in the most pain ever. I mean, she was yelling at everyone, like, to give her pain medicine. And I was like, Mom, you've already had, like, all that you can have, but try to be nice. So they found out through all the scans and stuff that she had only broken one bone, which is so crazy. It wasn't her femur. It was in her back. So she had burst one of her vertebrae, so, like, those little bumps on your spine, she had burst one of the lower ones. So when she fell, she came straight down and landed on her feet and then just fell over. And so the impact of landing just like crunched her spine, which is super gross. I know, it's really freaky. And it just like exploded. So yeah, she didn't break anything else. Like, it was seriously amazing. Like, God was so gracious to her in that moment because she could have, I'm really surprised that she didn't break her feet or her legs. I say it was because she was wearing Birkenstocks, so I don't know, maybe that helped a little bit, but nothing else, like, it was just that, and she could have hit her head when she fell, like, she could have honestly died, she could have broken her neck, she could have had nerve damage from that broken vertebrae, and she didn't, like, she could have been paralyzed from it, but she didn't. And so the next day, the doctors decided to do back surgery, and they had to take out, like, all the little pieces of bone and then put in, like, a little fake bone in place of her vertebrae. And then on either side of her spine, they put in 2 metal rods. So she has 2 metal rods, and then they put 5 screws on either side. So 2 metal rods and 10 screws total in her back. She is Iron Woman, and it's crazy, but you would never be able to tell. After 5 days in the hospital, she learned how to walk with a walker. She looked like a little granny. It was really cute. But you would never be able to tell now that she broke her back. So I told you guys today that we're going to talk about a man who was broken, and this man was actually paralyzed. And we don't know how much of his body was paralyzed. We don't know, like, what was wrong with him, but we know that he can't walk. And we know that he fell through the ceiling, came through the ceiling, just like my mom. So that's kind of cool. So I want you guys to turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 5. Verses 17 through 26. And we'll have it up on the screen too, so you guys can follow along if you don't have your Bibles. So Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It says, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Okay, so I'm going to stop there and point out how these are literally the best friends ever. I mean, we don't know how far they came from. Like, it says that people were coming from Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, all over, and they were carrying their friend on a mat. So it'd be like, I don't know, you guys carrying your friend on a stretcher all the way this way. So They also ran into this really big crowd. Like, they knew that they wanted to bring their friend to Jesus, but they probably didn't know that it was going to be this big of a crowd. And everyone was there, and they could have gotten to that house and been like, guys, like, it's really crowded. I don't know if we're going to be able to get this guy into the house. Like, let's just try another day. But they were like, nope, we believe that Jesus can heal him, and we're going to do it. So they loved and cared about him so much that they ended up getting him to the feet of Jesus, like we see. Because they do believe that Jesus can heal this paralyzed man. So Luke shows us in here how important friendship is. He never even mentions that the paralyzed man says anything. We don't know if he can talk. Maybe he can't talk. But he never says, like, the man's like, oh my gosh, like, you have to get me in there. I need to be healed. Like, please get me in there. It's just the friends and their love for this friend. So one thing I want to ask you guys is, do you guys care about your friends like this? Do you care about them enough to bring them to the feet of Jesus, to talk about Jesus with them, because you know something about Jesus that they don't know? As believers, we know that Jesus is our ultimate healer. We know that he is our Savior and our friend, and all of your friends need Jesus. All of us do. And that's something that I want you guys to think about. If you have a relationship with Jesus in here, that's because someone told you about him. Like, if you think back to when you became a believer, someone told you about him, whether it was at school, at church, one of your small group leaders, at camp maybe, one of your friends, maybe your mom or dad, someone told you about him, and we have to be that way to our friends. We have to be willing to put aside our own pride and our reputation and what people think about us and just be willing to bring them to him. To care about our friends enough to do that. And to be as great of friends as these guys were. Because that's amazing. That is what friendship should look like. So they carried this guy up on the roof. And back then, the houses had, like, stairs on the sides. You could go up to the roof. Like, it wasn't like us with our shingled roofs where you would have to, like, whoa, balance yourself. But it was like a balcony type thing. So they had tiles, and you could go up there, kind of hang out in the breeze. And so they brought him up there, and it would be really freaky. Like, if you can imagine right now while I'm talking, and you hear, like, this little weird sound up there, and then we look up, and there's, like, sunlight coming through, and then we see some men standing up there. It would be super weird. And then this guy is just, like, like, coming down through the ceiling. I would be like, what is going on? Like, I do not know what is happening. It would be just a super crazy scenario going on. So the story continues after they bring the man through the roof. So in verse 20, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? So I want to look back at verse 20, where it says, Jesus saw their faith, and that's like, he sees the friend's faith. Like, he doesn't really know that the paralyzed man, like, really wants to be there, but the friends brought him there. Like, they had faith that Jesus was going to heal him. So he saw their faith, and then said to the paralyzed man, friend, your sins are forgiven. Which is super weird if you think about it. I've read this passage so many times, and you guys might have too, and I'm always like, oh, that's great. Like, Jesus forgave his sins. Super cool. Like, Jesus forgives a lot of people's sins. But these friends were probably, like, really upset. They were like, what? Like, we brought him here for his legs to be healed, like, for him to walk again, for physical healing. Like, that's great, Jesus, that you forgave his sins, but, like, we want him to walk again. Like, that's why we brought him. Like, what if this happened to your friend? What if your friend had, your best friend, broke their legs, no surgery could fix it, and you're like, okay, we just have to take him to Jesus. Like, that's our only hope. So you bring him to Jesus, and you're like, please, 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 heal his legs. And Jesus is like, hey, your sins are forgiven. And you're like, that's great, but, like, no, I want to play soccer with them again. I want to go on walks with them again. I want to take runs with her again. And in this story, the friends and the Pharisees, they all were really focused on the physical healing. They didn't really think about the importance of the spiritual healing and the forgiveness that this man was getting. And guys, I think this is how we can be a lot of times with Jesus too. How often are we not satisfied with the things that we need most because we're really focused on the things that we want from Jesus in the moment? A lot of times we want a lot of things from Jesus. We want all these things to happen, but he's giving us all these things that we already need, like all the things that we need. And these men dismissed Jesus' blessings, like all the things that he had done, the forgiveness of sins that he had given them, because they were too focused on waiting for other things. And I think we're really guilty of this too. A lot of times we don't think about Jesus forgiving our sins, Jesus giving us a roof over our head to protect us, food to eat, air to breathe, people to be around, things to do, all these things. And we're just like, Jesus, all I want is an A on this test. Please, 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 I just need an A on this test. Jesus, I just really, really want my football team to win today. Like, that's super important to me. And we just want these things that aren't really things that we need. And we become dissatisfied with the things that we need because we're too focused on those things that we want. So now the man's sins are forgiven. And we're going to finish up the story in verse 24. And it says, Jesus says, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." So we see in this story that Jesus heals the broken. Like, he ended up healing this man. He got up and went home and praised God. Like, he could walk. And one thing that I want you guys to think about is how we're all broken in some way. Like, I'm broken. Dallas is broken. Matt's broken. All your small group leaders are broken. We're all broken in some way. And something probably is going to come up in your life if it hasn't already, something that's going to make you feel broken or leave you physically broken, like my mom. But what's cool about big events, even though they're really hard, like physical problems, emotional problems, family problems, all those things are really hard. But what's cool is that those can be the best things for us because they can lead us back to Jesus, and they usually do. And the paralyzed man probably was really thankful that he was paralyzed, that God made him paralyzed, because that's what brought him back to Jesus. That's what ultimately had him get his sins forgiven. So when I was reading this passage this week, I decided to ask my mom. I was like, "Hey, Mom, what's one thing that you learned from breaking your back that you probably wouldn't have without breaking your back?" Because she learned a lot of things, let me tell you, and I did too. And she said she now recognizes her need to be in control and can now stop and remind herself that everything's in God's control, that he doesn't need her help controlling everything. And I'm sure you guys know that a lot of times the moms can be a little bit controlling in the house. They like everything their way, the kitchen, like their way. You can't like mess up the dishwasher order or anything. And that was really hard for my mom. Like, we had to wash all the dishes. We had to do all the vacuuming. We had to do everything that she would always do, the laundry. I had to like help her walk up the stairs, walk to the bathroom. I had to get up 3 times every night to get her medicine because she needed it constantly. And that was really hard for her. That was really hard for her to just like let us do everything and not be able to help. So it's a really cool thing. And I think God a lot of times uses our struggles to produce strength in us. And that's why a lot of times chaos in our lives leads us back to Jesus. So the big thing that I want you guys to remember from this story is that Jesus heals the broken. And some of you in here are probably going through something that's really hard, like something emotional or physical, or someone you know is, someone in your family, maybe one of your friends. And you're probably like, "Well, why do I keep praying? Like, nothing's happening. Why isn't God healing me? Why isn't God healing them?" And you're like, "Well, Rachel, like, you can't really stand up here and say Jesus heals the broken. Like, he hasn't healed me. He hasn't healed my grandpa's cancer. He hasn't healed my parents' marriage." But the thing is that we see in this story, the physical healing is a gift on top of the spiritual healing. The true healing in our lives is the spiritual healing. And that's what we have to remember, that sometimes God heals us physically. Like, he might heal your grandpa's cancer. He healed my mom's back through the surgery that she had. But he's always going to heal us spiritually. He's not always going to take away our physical brokenness and our sickness, but he's always going to offer us forgiveness. And that's the most important thing. He's always willing to forgive us and bring us back into his kingdom and his family. And a lot of times I think we get really focused on praying for people to get better, which is a really good thing. I cannot tell you how many times I prayed for my mom that week that she was in the hospital. I mean, I was just like, "God, please let her get out of there safely. Like, please let her just get better." But how often are we praying for our friends and our family and the people close around us to know Jesus and to be forgiven and brought near to him? Because the forgiveness of sins is our biggest need, and we can't forget that. So the healing of this paralyzed man is not the end of the story, which is really awesome. Jesus tells him to get up and walk, and he tells him to take his mat and go home, which he does. And he didn't say this just to have this man take the smelly and gross and old and dirty mat out of the house, which he probably did. He probably didn't want that in the house anymore because it was probably really nasty. I mean, if you had been laying on a mat for your whole life, that would be really gross, you know? Like, you're not getting off of it. It's really gross. But he says this to give this man a reference point, like to give him something to look back on and be like, this mat, that's when Jesus healed me. Like, that's when he forgave my sins and he healed me physically and spiritually. And he turned to Jesus for healing. And if you've turned to Jesus for healing at some point in your life, there's probably something that you can look back on and see and remember that Jesus healed you. My mom, I'm sure every time that she sees an attic, we don't let her go up in the attic anymore for good reason, but every time she sees an attic or sees us going up in the attic, she's probably like, wow, God healed me. He healed me physically, but he also healed me spiritually because that time brought her back to Jesus, like brought her in more relation with him, like closer relation with him. And I told you guys back in the fall about some health problems that I went through in high school. And the thing that I always look back on to remember that is the song, Whom Shall I Fear by Chris Tomlin, which we sang a couple weeks ago. And I always think about that because my mom and I sang that every single day when I was going through that. And so now whenever I hear it, I think about how Jesus healed me in that time. And he healed me physically, but he also healed me spiritually because that's a big moment in my life that brought me closer to him. So every time I hear it, I cry. So don't play it for me, please. But if my mom came in here today, which she's not going to, she's not here, but if she came in here today, you would never be able to tell that she broke her back. You'd never be able to tell. I mean, she walks like a champ. She has the straightest posture I've ever seen because she literally has rods holding her up. And even though she has back pain every day and probably will for the rest of her life, like, you'd never be able to tell if that happened to her without hearing this story. And you'd probably never be able to tell, if you saw the paralyzed man walking down the street, you'd never be able to tell that he was paralyzed unless you knew the story. But people should be able to tell that you and I are spiritually healed. Because if you are a believer, you've been spiritually healed by Jesus. And they should be able to tell that we are spiritually healed by the way that we act and the way that we speak to others and the way that we treat others around us. Jesus heals the broken, and if you are a believer in here, then he has healed you. And we need to show our friends that Jesus is the ultimate healer by bringing them to his feet like the friends of the paralyzed man did. We need to be the best friends ever like these guys and bring our friends to the feet of Jesus. So the challenge I have for you guys this week is how can you show people this week that you were spiritually healed by Jesus by the way that you act, by the way that you speak to them, by the way that you treat them? Because they need to know. They need to know your story, and they need to know how Jesus has healed you. So you guys are going to talk about that a little bit more in small groups, but first I'm going to pray for us, and then we can head out. Jesus, thank you so much for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for a beautiful day and just a great weekend. And Father, I just thank you for being our ultimate healer and savior and friend. And Father, I pray for the people that don't know you in here. Lord, I pray that they would see that you are the ultimate healer and come to you. And Jesus, I just pray for all these students in here that this week they would be able to show people that they've been spiritually healed by you, by the way that they act and the way that they treat others and the way that they speak to others. So thank you, Jesus, and I pray for a great rest of the week. In your name I pray. Amen.